I've known Charlie for several years. Well, the whole family. And, you know, now, man, I look at the kids and it's like, there's no way I'm that old. Because when we first met Charlie and Sawana, the girls were girls. I mean, they were young. Now, they're women. They're all grown up. And this is just not right. And I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, I can't have aged that much. There's just no way. But it's been a blessing to watch God move in Charlie's life. See, a lot of people will hear about God, but not everybody does anything about it. And that includes Christians. There are a lot of Christians that, you know, they'll bide their time in church. They'll go through the motions of being saved, truly being born again. But when it comes to going deeper in their relationship with Jesus, that doesn't really happen. And many times, it's kind of not their fault. Because if they're not in a church where the leadership in the church is shepherding the people, then they're really not going to understand about growth in Christ. They're going to understand about being born again. But one of the things about Psalm 23, using that as the imagery, not so much just of Jesus, but also as a responsibility of the local pastor. The Psalm 23 pastor has responsibility to lead the people of the church, that pasture, to the place of feeding, to that place of the still waters, so that they can be nourished spiritually. And in many cases, you'll have people who just don't do that. There are pastors, they will share about the Word of God. But when it comes to actually sharing what's required for a Christian to grow in the Lord, that's something very different. Now with Charlie, I first met him, I don't remember, back in 2001. And what had happened, the Lord had led me to open a college, Grace Ministries Bible College. And it's a really unique school. The instructions he gave me were, you do not charge for tuition, course material, you don't charge for anything. And, you know, obviously, you wonder, well, where's the money going to come from? Well, silly question, because if God says to do it, then apparently He has a plan to supply. And I learned that because we told the students, we're not going to charge you anything, but that doesn't mean that the school is free. What it means is you have a responsibility to go before God and find out what God would have you give in support of the school. I said, but I'm never checking the records, so I'll have no idea if you give or if you don't give. My responsibility is to simply teach in this school and to help you. Well, Charlie enrolled. And as with any students, you wonder how they're going to respond. You wonder, are they going to hear and act, or are they just going to hear? In other words, like the Word of God says, we're supposed to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Well, in observation and watching Charlie, he was putting forth the effort, not just to be a good student, not just to pass the courses, but he was putting forth the effort to learn more about God, to learn more about His Word. And as I was watching him, he would come to me at times and talk to me about everything, what was going on in his life, the things that God had done in his life, how he had changed and so forth, and where God had brought him. And it ultimately led Charlie and his family to begin attending our church. And as he was attending the church, I'm watching him, and he's growing and he's maturing. And many times over the years, we sat down at lunch, usually at Olive Garden, and just talked about the Lord, talked about what God is doing, talked about one of the directions that God was leading Charlie. Because one of the things that I shared in the Bible college was that you have to receive from God His plan for your life. And not just receive it, but it's important to write it down. As it states in Habakkuk, you know, take the vision, write it, make it plain so that somebody else who reads it will understand what it's talking about. And this is something that Charlie did. And he shared with me, he truly believed that God had called him to a place of ministering the Word of God. And I didn't doubt that. And so we would give him opportunities in our church to share and to teach. Well, long story short, He contacted me one day and wanted to talk to me about the fact that the opportunity to pastor in this church had become available to him. So we talked about it, and I shared some things with him. And not that I know everything about pastoring, but I just pointed some things out to him, and things from my own past, and primarily about seeking God. We are to, as pastors, we're to consider ourselves to be under shepherds to the chief shepherd, Jesus being the chief shepherd. That means this is not my flock or my church. I mean, we refer to it, we use that terminology. But ultimately, we answer to Jesus as pastors for what we do within the structure of the church where we are placed. And I shared with Charlie how that, you know, it's very critical to keep your eyes on Jesus and to understand that, you know, this don't you never take ownership, but you exercise oversight. And you steward the congregation that God has placed you over. And this is why in the book of James it talks about those who are called to the ministry of a pastor are going to be judged at a higher standard because God holds us responsible for what we teach the people within the church. Well, here we are today. Charlie's been pastoring for a while here. And this is a day of his official ordination within the structure of this organization and so forth. And that brings up a question. Why should Charlie be ordained? You know, you may think, well, because he's the pastor. Listen, if you've been around as long as I've been around, you're going to know there's a lot of people out there pastoring they should not be pastoring. So why should Charlie be ordained? Well, for one thing, he has been pressing deeper into the presence of God to find out exactly what God wants for Charlie. Charlie has been submitted to the Lord. Charlie has received from the Lord direction from God concerning what God wants him to do. Now, I can tell you that I know Charlie does not know what direction things are going to be going 5 years from now as far as this particular congregation. And the reason for that is because God reveals as much of His plan to us as He knows we need to know at this point in time. In other words, the revelation of God's plan for our life is progressive. As we continue to seek Him, He continues to reveal more to us so that we understand exactly what it is that He's doing in our lives. This is what Charlie has been doing for the last 12 years, receiving progressive revelation from God concerning where God is leading him. Well, now, Charlie is pastoring here in this church. And this has been something that he's been seeking God for a long time. What do you want me to do? And God laid it on his heart. Well, this is the direction I'm leading you. And now, here he is. What should a pastor do? Well, he should show up and preach, encourage the people to give a lot of money, tell them about Jesus, and then every now and then have a covered dish dinner. No. Anybody can do that. Only a pastor can be a pastor. Now, what I mean is, God is the one who issues the ministry callings. Anybody can go to a seminary, graduate, have a piece of paper that says, you know, I have this degree and now I have this qualification, therefore I should be a pastor. Well, according to man's standards, maybe so. But maybe not according to God's standards. Because God is the one who has established the ministry callings in the body of Christ. Man does not have the responsibility nor the qualifications to release a ministry calling upon a person. That only comes from God. What we do is we lift up the arms of our brothers and sisters in Christ and we encourage them in the Lord and we try to facilitate their growth in God. And as that growth takes place, they will come to the place of knowing what God has called them to do. Well, when it comes to a pastor, there are certain things in Scripture relative to our responsibilities. And I know that this tonight is about Charlie's ordination. But what I'm going to share tonight from the Word are God's expectations, just a few of them, God's expectations of us as pastors and really anyone who stands in the pulpit to deliver the Word of God. What does He want of us? And I'd like you to open first to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, really, 1 and 2 Timothy are two of the greatest books anybody could use and study and meditate in when they believe they're called to share the Word of God from the pulpit or share the Word of God from a classroom, Sunday school class. But this is really written from the perspective of God's instructions to leadership. God speaking through Paul and giving instructions to leadership within the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll just look at one verse here to start. Verse 22, it says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Now, to keep this short, as far as that verse is concerned, this thing about lay hands suddenly on no man, when you leave this in the context of everything that Paul is writing to Timothy, what he's really saying is this. You don't take somebody and set them forth in ministry before they are ready. In another place, God reveals to us through the Apostle Paul how that a novice is not supposed to be established in a place of ministry. And when he says, lay hands suddenly on no man, what he's really saying is, do not be quick to establish people in ministry. And this is one of the things that I have battled over the years. People who think they're ready to be set forth into ministry and, you know, preach the world and all this other, when I know they're not, and they get upset with me because I won't ordain them, or I won't set them forth, or I won't establish them publicly as having a ministry calling. And when I try to sit down and talk to them and reason with them to help them understand what's really going on, they sometimes have not been too receptive of that. But see, this is the responsibility that we have. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Meaning, when it comes time for somebody to step into a pulpit and be called pastor, whoever has that responsibility to do this, they had better seek God first to find out if this is the right thing to do. You know, we heard just a few moments ago how that Charlie was interviewed, if you will, and they examined the paperwork that he filled out. In other words, they checked him out before they said, yeah, we're going to do this. They didn't just say, boy, praise God, we found somebody to take that church. Give him his papers. No, if they had checked Charlie out and did not believe that Charlie should be the pastor or be ordained, they would not have ordained him. They had to be sure that they were comfortable with Charlie being ordained. And so therefore, when it comes to ministry, we have a responsibility to be sure whoever is being established in that position of ministry is called of God, not just approved of man, not just liked by people, but called of God. Well, now look at something else. Turn over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. See, I personally believe that Charlie is called of God. Everybody has a different style of delivery and preaching. Everybody has a different style of teaching. But I believe that Charlie is called of God. Well, now here in Acts chapter 20, in verse 27, Paul is standing up in front of the Ephesian elders. And what had happened was this. He had called the leaders of this church to a place called Miletus. Now, back in those days, Miletus was considered one of the nicest vacation resorts in the world. So what he did was call these leaders to Miletus for a ministry retreat, a conference, if you will. Now, in the course of this, he's standing before these leaders. These were what we would call the pastors and the elders and the evangelists and whatever. And you pick it up in verse 27. And he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, a key in this is where in verse 27, Paul stands up, and let me just kind of paraphrase it. He says, "Guys, I have not taken into consideration your background. I've not taken into consideration what religious group you've come from. Fellas, I don't know what denomination you're a part of. But what I do know is this. When I stood before you, when I've ministered to you, I have not backed off from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. In other words, you may not agree with it. You may not like it. You may not appreciate it. Maybe you've never heard it taught like this. But I'm going to deliver unto you the whole counsel of God. Now, Charlie, you're being established over a flock. And the one thing these folks need is the whole counsel of God. And I'm just going to say this publicly. It doesn't matter if they like it or not. It doesn't matter if they agree with it or not. You and I have talked about how in our past we were raised and taught things we thought were right and come to find out they weren't right. And God had to do some correcting on the inside of us before He could take us further into our a deeper relationship with Him and into our calling. The people of this church need the whole counsel of God. Well, what is the whole counsel of God? It's called the Bible. Anything that is preached and taught had better come out of this book. If it doesn't, then it's the counsel of somebody or something else. And Charlie, you've got a responsibility. I have the responsibility. Anybody who stands in front of a church and delivers the Word of God has a responsibility to deliver the whole counsel of God. Not just, well, you know what? We think this part over here, it doesn't really apply to us where we live. Well, if it didn't apply to you to where you live, God wouldn't have put it in here because this Word applies to every human being on earth. It doesn't matter where you live, what's your culture, it doesn't matter how you've been raised, the Word of God is never going to change. And everyone who stands up in a pulpit has a responsibility to deliver the whole counsel of God. Now here's the thing. You can't do that in one service. You simply cannot deliver the whole counsel of God in 1 week. You can't do it in a month. You know what it takes? It takes shepherding week in and week out and month in and month out, year in and year out, teaching the Word of God. And this is the only way that you're going to be able to get the whole counsel. You know, one of the things about me, God uses me quite often to teach a series on a particular subject. And I never know how long the series is going to be, how many sermons. We've had series that were like 4 or 5 sermons. We've had longer ones, 44 sermons. But when the series is over, God just lets me know it's done. And then it's over. We actually had somebody leave our church. When I mean leave, I don't mean the service was over and they went home. I mean they left the church. And you know one of the reasons they gave? I'm tired of all these teaching series. Well, I'm scratching my head thinking, wait a second. How are you going to cover a subject if you don't cover the subject the way the subject should be covered? You have to deliver the whole counsel of God. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. What is the whole counsel of God about faith? Well, you can't teach that in one service. What's the whole counsel of God concerning deliverance or salvation or sanctification, justification? Pick your subject. You can't just cover it in one service. The problem is in the body of Christ today, we just want to ease our conscience, attend our service, go on about our ways, when in reality, we are not taking the time to feed the hunger of our spirit on the inside. Because our spirits desire the things of God. And the only way that we're going to grow spiritually is by His Word, not by man's opinion. So Charlie, you've got a responsibility to deliver the whole counsel of God. Whatever is contained in the Word of God. And what's interesting is that Paul said, I have delivered unto you the whole counsel of God. Well, that brings up a question. Where did you get this counsel? Where, Paul, did you come up with this stuff? Now let's look over in Galatians chapter 1 and find out. Galatians chapter 1. Now what's happening here in the book of Galatians? Keep this real short. There were some people who had come into this region of Galatia and they were trying to refute that Paul was truly an apostle of God. They were coming against things that Paul had taught. And so here's Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "But I certify, guarantee, I make it sure unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was raised in church, we were taught you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to be born again. So I believed that. But we were also taught that the message of salvation, meaning ye must be born again, we were taught that is the gospel. Well, as the years went by and I began getting into the Word of God, I began to find out differently. The gospel includes the message, ye must be born again. But the whole gospel is the whole counsel of God. In other words, whatever we find written in here to the body of Christ, that is the gospel. It's not just ye must be born again. Ye must be born again is a part, some part, total of the whole thing. And so here, when Paul is writing this and he says, listen, fellas, I'm telling you, the gospel, the message, my sermons, the counsel that I am delivering unto you is not after man. In other words, I did not get this by going to a Bible college or a seminary. I didn't go to Jerusalem and sit down with the apostles to listen to what they were teaching and then come back and preach what they said. I didn't just repeat. In other words, look at this. He says, what I received, it wasn't taught to me by man. He said it was taught to me by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he talks about this in another place, how he'd been caught up to the third heaven and literally had a personal audience with Jesus. What Paul is revealing to us here is that the things he taught came directly from the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that is heavy. What that means is this. If I go reading through here in my Bible and I see something that the Apostle Paul wrote, and I think, well, I don't know, that's just not what our church has ever believed, and you know, we just never taught it that. Do you understand what I'm doing? Is that I am saying that a revelation that has come directly from Jesus Christ no longer applies. That's pretty serious, especially when over in Matthew, Jesus made the statement, heaven and earth will pass away. He says, but my words will never pass away. Therefore, the revelation that Paul received from Jesus Christ was good then and it's good now. And we don't have any legal right before God, if you will, to change anything that's written in here. Meaning, you either accept it or you don't, but it's not going to change. And the fact that I don't accept something doesn't mean that God's changed His mind and said, well, you know, since Jim doesn't believe this anymore, let's just mark that out. No. It's true permanently. It's not going to change. So when I'm delivering the whole counsel of God, Charlie, when you're delivering the whole counsel of God, what we're actually doing is we are taking a revelation that has come from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we're just passing it on to His flock. We're just sharing with people what they need to know concerning their relationship with Him. Now, you and I both know there are some people, they don't want to hear this. What I mean is there are things that Jesus has revealed to the church through the Apostle Paul that today we don't want to hear about. Well, we don't believe in it. Or we don't practice that in our church. Well, the question would be, why not? If it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, if it's a part of the whole counsel of God, then why wouldn't we want to practice it? Let's think of it this way. Instead of taking what we believe in our church and trying to make the Word of God fit into our beliefs, how about if we take what God has established and make that our belief? How about if we take the revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole counsel of God, and make that our standard and not alter it? And if we find that there's something in this revelation and in this counsel that is an opposition to what we've always believed, then why don't we change what we believe so that we line up with the revelation of Jesus Christ? What's so hard about that? I'll tell you what's so hard about that. It requires accountability on our part. It requires responsibility on our part. It requires teachability on our part. Now, Charlie, what that means is this. Not everybody may agree with something that you show them from the Word of God. You can stand right up here and you can say, well, according to what God has given to us, revelation of Jesus Christ here in Ephesians, here in Galatians, here in Corinthians, whatever it would be. Some people may say, well, I just don't agree with that. I just never heard that before. Well, you know what? Praise God. You just received revelation. Instead of arguing with it, man, embrace it. Make it a part of your life. Well, let me show you something else. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because you see, when it comes to delivering the whole counsel of God and teaching the revelation of Jesus Christ, you can't just stand up and do it. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Let me say it like this. You have to receive a revelation of the revelation before you can expound upon the revelation. Meaning you have to be taught before you can teach. Now, Paul said his teaching did not come from man. Well, we're in Ephesians. We can read about the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They all have a role to play in the body of Christ. But ultimately, we're supposed to be relying on God, especially through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to teach us. Look here in this. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm supposed to study to show myself approved unto who? God. What that means is I don't seek the approval of man. What that means is I don't go to a council to find out, was it okay if I preach this from the Bible? And the council says, well, we don't think so. Not everybody agrees with that. I know of a... Well, let me just say it like this. I know about a church where the pastor had to submit his sermons to the church council for approval before he could ever stand up and preach the sermons. I don't know about you, but when I stand before God, I don't want to have to explain to Him why I trusted man more than I trusted Him. Why I obeyed man more than I obeyed Him. Look, if God lays a sermon on your heart and you prayed and sought God, you know this is what God wants you to preach, you better deliver it. Listen, there have been times in my own church, I stand right about over, Brother Aaron's stand right there, that's about where I stand in my church for praise and worship on Sunday mornings. And I don't turn around and look and see who showed up for the day. I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm praising God. Well, when the time comes for me to walk up front, this is the first time I get a good look at who's there and who's not. Now, usually I know what I'm going to be preaching before I stand up in the pulpit. Sometimes God changes it in midstream. That's okay. Whatever He wants, I just work here. And I've been up here and I know what I'm supposed to teach. When I get up and I open my eyes and I look out across the congregation and I see somebody, and I know for a fact they're not going to like this. Well, they didn't call and tell me they were going to be at church the next day. So here I am, and I kid you not, there have been times when I've been standing up there and everybody thinks I'm worshiping. I'm actually talking to God. Are you sure you still want me to preach this message? Because that person's not going to like this. No, you deliver it. You preach it. All right. And so I go ahead and I do it knowing somebody may not like it. Well, you know what? You study to show yourself approved unto God, Charlie. And anybody else who's called to minister the Word, you study to show yourself approved unto God. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I may be a pastor, but I'm still a workman. I'm a servant to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Then he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you know, that's interesting. How do I rightly divide the word of truth? And I won't even begin to tell you some of the things that I've heard over the years about this. I mean, I heard a guy one time, I'm laying in bed, and there's a guy on the radio, and he's talking about what it means to rightly divide the word of God. And the stuff he was saying was so whacked out, I wanted to reach through that radio and grab him by the throat and squeeze it. Just shut up. You're wrong. And I have no idea how many people were listening to that, being fed something that was not the counsel of God. Well, what does it mean to rightly divide the Word of God? Is there any way we can find out? Well, sure there is. In fact, God, through the prophet Isaiah, explained very clearly what it means to rightly divide the Word of God. Let's take a look at this. Back in Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And what we're going to do is just kind of jump in the middle of this. Don't have time tonight to go through all of it. But basically, in Isaiah 28, what God is doing is prophesying through Isaiah. Now, there was application to the people of that time. But this was really a prophecy for the church. And what God was saying is, there are so many preachers who are delivering stuff that never came from me. They're preaching and teaching things that I have not ordained. Well, we jump in the middle of it. Verse 7, it says, but they have also erred through wine and strong drink. Now, this is symbolic. He's not saying that all the preachers are alcoholics. And I just don't have time to get into the depth of it, but he's talking about they've allowed themselves to be distracted by the intoxicating things of this world and man's way of teaching and doing things. And he says, they've erred through wine, strong drink. They're out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Judgment of what? Judgment of the things of God. The discerning of the things of God. He said, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, that there is no place clean. What tables is he talking about? He's talking about the table of the Lord, because one of the things that a pastor is supposed to do is prepare the table of the Lord for the feeding of the sheep. And he says, the tables are full of vomit. They're full of filthiness. And then God makes this declaration. And he says, whom shall he, meaning God, whom shall God teach knowledge? Whom shall God make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. Now look at this. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, to summarize this very briefly, God was saying, look, who in the world can I teach knowledge? How is it that I make people to understand the things of my word, to understand doctrine? He says, well, here's how I do it as God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, you never take anything out of context. You never pull a verse here, pull a verse there, and create a doctrine. I remember one time I was reading through Scripture. It might have been somewhere in Corinthians. I don't really recall. But I saw a verse, and I read it, and I thought, oh, wow, boy, I could preach this. And man, just like that, the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside of him and he said, you better go back to the beginning of this chapter and read from verse 1 all the way through and find out what I'm really saying here. And so I did, and when I got to where I had been, I realized, good glory to God, I was going to teach something so desperately wrong. But boy, I could have made it sound good. But once I left it in context, in other words, verse upon verse upon verse, line upon line, and precept upon precept, I gained the understanding of what that passage was all about. Now, God is telling us, this is how I want my word taught. Because this is the only way you're going to be able to come to the place of truly understanding my word and understanding the doctrine that I have established for my church. Well, see, this takes us back over there to Timothy, where he talks about rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. How do we do that? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Listen, if you're not used to doing that, that is a tough thing. If you're not used to studying the Word of God and finding the beginning of a subject and finding the end of the subject, which could ultimately cover two or three chapters, all you're used to doing is, you know, finding a verse that sounds good and going for it. But when you realize that's not sufficient in the eyes of God, when you realize that God expects you to find out where the subject starts and where the subject ends, and it doesn't matter if it's a whole chapter, a half chapter, three or four or five chapters, you do not fragment the Word of God. Because if you fragment the Word of God, that's like taking a seed and breaking that seed into pieces and thinking I can plant all the pieces and still get the same kind of a plant. You can't. You have to leave the seed intact because the message of the seed is in the whole seed, not just fragmented parts of it. Likewise, with the Word of God, says he's saying, listen, this is how it's, from my perspective, me, God, I'm telling you, this is how you do it. Charlie, you're pastoring these folks. If you fragment the Word of God, God's going to hold you responsible for that. Same thing for me. Same thing for anybody who stands up and ministers the Word. That means you and I have a responsibility to dig into the Word of God and leave it intact, line upon line, precept upon precept. This is why sometimes when you're teaching, you can't just cover a subject in one service. Because the whole line upon line teaching may take you 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to cover what God has put in His Word. And it's when people begin to fragment the Word of God, in other words, when people begin to get away from the whole counsel of God on how to teach His Word, that's when you end up with doctrine that does not line up with Scripture. Well, let's look at one other thing. Turn back over to 2 Timothy. Only this time, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy, we've already read that God expects us as the body of Christ, but ministers in particular, study to show yourself approved unto God. You have to rightly divide His Word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Then we see in chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for what? Doctrine. Well, we just read doctrine over there in Isaiah in that prophecy about the church. He said, it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I can tell you right here, I have had to go through a whole lot of this reproof and correction and instruction because I was so wrong in a lot of the things that I believed, and God had to correct me. Well, see, if you're not correctable, you're not going to be corrected. And he says, all Scripture is given for these things. Here's why. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect. That means spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished, spiritually equipped unto all good works. That phrase, all good works, means everything that God has called you to do. And then Paul writes, I charge you. He's speaking to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. What Word? The whole counsel of God. The whole revelation of Jesus Christ. The line upon line, precept upon precept, declaration that God has established in our Bible. He says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. When it comes to this reproving and rebuking, how am I supposed to do that? Well, we just read about it up there in chapter 3, 16 and 17. The Word of God. I use the Word of God to correct. And he says, for the time will come when they, who are the they? Christians. People in the body of Christ. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That phrase, will not endure sound doctrine, that literally means they will no longer receive sound doctrine. They will reject it. Why will they do that? Here's why. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, when he says turn away from truth and turned unto fables, that the imagery of that is, here I am, I'm listening to truth. But I don't like this truth that I'm hearing. It cramps my style. I don't agree with this. That's not the way Grandpa believed it. That's not the way Dad believed it. I don't agree with this. And so I turn away from truth, and I go over here and I find somebody who's going to teach me what I want to believe, teach me what I want to agree with, teach me what I deem is acceptable. And he says, they're going to be turned unto fables, those things which are not profitable for the spiritual growth and development of the individual. And he says, Timothy, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That the afflictions, where do you think those afflictions are coming from? In part from the people who are rejecting the message of truth that you're delivering. In other words, they're coming against you, and in many cases coming against you publicly to refute your ministry, to declare you unworthy. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to listen to Mr. Fable over here. He knows what he's talking about. Charlie, you're going to have to be prepared for that. Because there are people, I guarantee you, sooner or later, they're going to come against you. Now, I'm not saying people in this church, but when you're delivering truth, sooner or later, somebody's going to hear a message. Maybe they listen to a CD or something, and they're going to come against you. And it all goes back to the fact they don't agree with you, but in reality, they're not agreeing with the declaration of God. They're not agreeing with the whole counsel of God. They're not standing in agreement with the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's like they're saying, God, I'm sorry, but you need to rewrite the Bible according to what I believe. Well, I've got news for you. That's not going to happen. Charlie, this commission that God has given to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Preach the word. The line upon line unadulterated word of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole counsel of God. Never fear what man may say to you. Never fear the criticism. Because when it's all said and done, Charlie, look what happens here. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at His appearing. He's the one you're going to stand before. The criticisms of people in this life are temporary, but the pat on the back from your Savior is eternal. You preach the Word and don't you back down. And it doesn't matter where the criticism or disagreement comes from, you stand strong on the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole counsel of God. And Charlie, you're not alone. The Apostle Paul wasn't alone. But sometimes you may feel like it. Well, let me tell you something. I'm with you. And I'll stand beside you. And you and I, if we're the last ones, what was that movie, Last Man Standing? Or if we're the last two standing, Charlie, we're going to stand on the rock of revelation, the whole counsel of God, and we're not going to back down. I'll encourage you. You encourage me. We'll be a strength for each other. Even if everybody else rejects us, we'll take turns on Sunday. I'll preach to you, and the next week you can preach to me. Stand strong in the Lord, Charlie. Stand strong in the Lord and never back down. Never. And when that day of your judgment comes, you're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. Would you all please stand? In just a moment, we're going to go a little to the next part of the ordination service. But right now, I just want to encourage you. This message for Charlie is for every one of you. Jesus Christ is our only hope. And His Word is the only Word we need. Every one of you in here, speak the Word only. Live daily by the whole counsel of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for every person in this room. And I pray, Father, for their hearts to be hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Father, I pray that their hearts and minds will always be open to receive the whole counsel of God. Father, I pray that this church will be filled with Your presence, that when people walk in, they're going to know this is a house of God. Father, every time Charlie stands up, I just ask that the joy of the Lord would be his strength, that his heart and mind would be guarded by the peace that passes all understanding, and that, Father, he would be bold as a lion. He would be filled with Your compassion and Your love and Father, Your mercy, and that as he ministers, he will minister according to the fullness of what You desire. And that, Father, the folks in this church will live and breathe as one in Christ. And Father, I thank You for this. And I say in the name of Jesus, may it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, you may be seated.